You are listening to The Naked Scientists with Ben Valsler and with Kat Arney.
And now it's time for Kitchen Science, looking at nature's own bioengineering, a special composite that we're all very familiar with, and that's bone.
I've always been told not to play with my food, but that's pretty much exactly what Dave has been doing for this week's Kitchen Science, or certainly his food leftovers, if not the food itself. Dave, what are you going to show us today?
Well, basically, I've been looking at bone. Last week I had some nice chicken drumsticks for supper, and rather than throwing away the drumsticks, I thought I'd have a look at them. So here we've got a chicken drumstick. If you want to feel it, it's a really big, strong bone. You can hit it, you can bend it. I could probably snap it, but I have to try very hard.
You can definitely feel that there's a little bit of give in there, and you could break it. Of course, being a bone from a bird, it's also quite light because they've adapted to not weigh too much. This one's relatively clean, although I do think I have bits of your dinner on my fingers now. I think I'll give that back, thank you. What particularly have you been looking at?
Well, bone is also a composite structure. It's made up of two main structural things. One of them is the sort of thing you'd expect. It's hydroxyapatite. It's a hard mineral that makes bones really, really hard. And the other one is a protein called collagen. This is a stuff which your ears are made of, and it's kind of quite floppy. So I thought we'd have a look at some bones and try and extract all the hydroxyapatite and maybe another bone and extract all the collagen and see what effect it has on the bone itself.
So we should be separating two of the main constituents of bone to see what we're left with. How do you actually go about this? What have you had to do?
Well, the first thing I did, you can do this at home perfectly easily, is basically take a jar of vinegar and leave the drumstick in there for about a week. So I fish a bone out of here.
Well, it's very white. There's a very strong smell of vinegar in here now as well. It looks like a very clean bone, but what's changed about it?
Well, if you feel it, Ben, it's a bit gunky, but if you feel it, it's gone quite soft.
It's really very squidgy. It almost feels rubbery.
That's right. It sort of feels a bit like your ears, because it is essentially made of the same stuff as your ears, collagen.
So by pickling it, we've got rid of the hard stuff, the hydroxyapatite, this calcium compound, and we're left with the really rubbery, bendy stuff. It's very strange. You just wouldn't think of bone as being that soft and that squidgy. So that's what we've done to look at the rubbery stuff, the collagen. What have we done to look at just the really hard stuff?
Again, something quite easy you can do at home if you're ever having a barbecue. Basically, just put a bone on the fire, leave it there for half an hour, and take it out again. And you'll end up with something like this.
So this has actually burnt out all of the protein. It's certainly blackened by the fire, and if you can tell, it's been burnt. But what's changed?
If you feel it, you should feel it's really quite light, much lighter than normal bone, because you've dried it out and burnt out most of the protein.
It is incredibly light. You can hardly feel that it's in your hand. What else has happened?
It's still quite hard. It doesn't bend very easily.
Yes, it's definitely still quite stiff. I'm really sorry, Dave. I've just broken your bone. With hardly any effort at all, it's now shattered into quite a few jagged pieces. I'm sorry, Dave, if I've ruined your experiment.
No, that's shown exactly what I was going to show you next, Ben. Now, hydroxyapatite is very, very hard and quite stiff, but it's also very, very brittle. So once you bend it beyond its breaking strain, you can get a crack. That crack passes all the way through the bone and it just shatters into lots of small pieces. But if it's surrounded by this tough, stringy collagen protein, the crack can't move anywhere because the protein takes a lot of the weight. And so you get a strong but hard substance, like bone.
So it really is about the interplay between the different properties of the two different materials we have in here. And this is why it's a composite. It's a composite of two things. You get the advantages of two. And even though the hard stuff itself breaks, I mean, really just like pencil lead if you're writing too quickly, because we have the collagen in there, you end up with, going back to your original bone, good solid bone. It really can take quite a lot of pressure and it doesn't break at all. Do all bones, everywhere in nature, all have this balance, this composite material?
Most land-living creatures and most fish do, but things like sharks don't. Their bones have never developed the mineralisation, so they're still quite flexible and bendy, which also means that they don't fossilise very well. So mostly with sharks, all you find is the teeth. And also, when we're children or babies, our bones start off very, very soft and flexible because they're only made out of the cartilage, the collagen. And then slowly as we get older, they mineralise more and more from the ends until right in the middle. Eventually they fuse together and form a big, long, solid, very hard, tough bone.
So our bones and the bones of most other animals rely on the compromise of a composite material. Do we do the same thing in technology?
All sorts of places. Even ancient technologies like making a sword or a knife, you have a composite of different types of steel. For example, you make the cutting edge incredibly hard so as it can cut through things. But if you made the whole blade that hard, if you hit something with it, it would tend to just shatter into a thousand different pieces.
A bit like your bone did when I was handling it earlier.
Exactly. You probably have to hit it a bit harder, but same idea. So you use much softer but much tougher steel behind the blade to be able to absorb the impacts while still taking advantage of the hard steel at the front.
Now, that's a very good point. You said that there's very hard steel, but there's also very tough steel. What's the difference? I would have thought the two words mean the same thing.
Well, from a scientific point of view, they actually mean two completely different things. Hardness is to do with how stiff it is, how hard it is for things to scratch it. So something like glass is a very, very hard material. It'll scratch most kinds of stone. It's very, very hard. But if you hit something with it, it shatters into a thousand tiny pieces. Whereas something like rubber is very, very soft, not hard at all. You can scratch it with your fingernails. It'll bend very easily. But if you hit something, you can smash it against a wall to your heart's content, and it's not going to break. It can absorb a huge amount of energy by stretching and deforming. So toughness is to do with the amount of energy it can absorb when in an impact.
And so our bones consist of both hard material, the hydroxyapatite that makes them so stiff, and also very tough material, the collagen that bends and wibbles but can actually absorb quite a lot of energy, which means that should I fall off my bike, as does occasionally happen, hopefully my bones won't break. That's all we have for Kitchen Science this week, and we'll be back with more next week.
So, pickling a bone in vinegar will take out the hard calcium-based stuff, leaving the rubbery protein behind, but burning it gives you just the hard stuff and a very brittle bone.
As I found out when accidentally breaking Dave's experiment, he promises to burn another bone and get some interesting video up on our website at thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience. But if you'd like to let us know about your own science experiments, or if there's something that you feel would need our experimental touch, you can email us chris@thenakedscientists.com.
Lifting the lab coat on the world's best science. The Naked Scientists.